Welcome to the Working Hands Podcast. I'm Tony of Woodland Iron, joined by Keith of Blackthorn Concepts. What's going on, man?
All right. Start off this episode, like always, thanking our sponsors. I'll take the time to thank Sabretooth. If you go to sabretooth.com, you can get all your carving discs and burrs. If you use code WH, you could save 10% on your order. I use them, you should too.
And I'll take a moment to thank our sponsor, Maritime Knife Supply, your one-stop shop for makers, your home for abrasives, steel, tools, and more. Save on shipping by getting everything from one supplier. You can find them at maritimeknifesupply.com and .ca.
So what is up? What is going on?
I'm tired.
Me too. I didn't do anything today. After work, I sat on the couch.
Yeah, I go back to work tomorrow, so I was busy running around after kids and stuff. So I was out in the shop on Sunday. That was a fun time.
Managed
to burn my hand alive while I was doing it.
How many cobwebs did you have to clean out of the shop before you could get to work?
Oh, too many. And that's not even a joke. Like, I literally had to clean cobwebs off stuff. Actually, tonight.
Really?
Yes. Well, it's an open shop. Like, there's no soffits underneath the eaves, so it's like, I'm pretty sure there were squirrels in there this summer at some point.
Oh, man. When was the last time you were in there?
Oh, I go in every now and again, but it doesn't take long and it's filled up. Well, the last time I was in was when Hatch was here, and that was only a few weeks ago. But
man, it feels like it was last week.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks, if not three, since he was here. No, it's been fun. I went out and started my swap items, so I'm not quite finished, but I've only got one more piece to really do anything with, so
that's good.
But
it looked cool what I saw you making.
Yeah, I'm happy with it. I was racking my brain on I wanted to make something. It's just a simple scroll, but I wanted to make something that was a little bit different than what I had made in the past. So
right,
trying to kind of challenge myself a little bit, and ended up just, well, I said to you off air, the making of jigs made a big difference, because
I bet
I have all I did was I got three-quarter pipe and 3-inch pipe, and that's how I made those bends. So the finial on the front is a 3/4-inch
right
bend or circle, and then the radius or the diameter for that the loop or whatever, the bend or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what to call it.
Scroll?
No, the scroll's on the end. That's the 3/4. Okay. But the other piece where the long cross piece is going to sit in, that's a 3-inch pipe is what I used to bend that. And it was nice to use a pipe, because then I actually have it come backwards a little bit, come back on itself a little bit. So,
oh yeah.
So it's tightened up a little. But yeah, it was, if anybody caught it, we had a few people on. I did a...
Did you bring them up on the live?
No, not with me, just by myself in the shop. I should do that sometime, but you were off tool hunting, so...
I was tool hunting.
We'll have to talk about that, too.
Thank you, Rob Rojas.
Actually, Rob joined us for a minute on that, too. Found out the plane that I have, I thought was a Stanley number 5. He says it's a number 4 smoother.
Oh, nice.
So I have no idea if that's good or
bad. My Stanley 4 is my favorite hand plane.
It's a good size for work, I think. Like, it's not too heavy and not too large, too cumbersome. So.
But do you have the corrugated bottom or the flat bottom?
Flat, smooth bottom.
Nice. You going to bring it to camp and restore it?
Yeah, I actually would like to, because, I mean, I'd like to learn how to sharpen it more than restore anything, because it's actually just rusty. It should be stored in the house and not out in my shop because of the moisture. But, I do intend to bring it. That's my intent this year with camp, is to not cruise around all day long. It's going to actually be to hit stuff and, you know, kind of challenge myself a little bit. I have a bit of phobia with trying new things in front of people.
I think a lot of people do. I find that a lot, not just at Maker Camp, but at other things where there's like hands-on stuff. People, yeah. It's almost like, who wants to try it? And no one raises their hand. Put your hand up.
I found that even with doing when I was doing the live the other day, like I was like, I'm on this live. Everything should go smooth. And I was like, I'm still learning how to do this.
Yeah.
So then I was bending one of the scrolls, and so the piece came back like underneath me, and then my hand was, anyways, I ended up burning my inside hand.
Ugh.
On the back on my pinky and ring finger knuckle. Not bad.
Oh yeah, I could see it.
Probably, yeah, the ring finger knuckle's the worst one. Those are actually the worst burns I've received in the shop. So I'm pretty happy that's the magnitude of my worst burn at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I found myself with that, like just being, oh, I got to do it right. I got to make sure. And then I go back and I watch the video and I'm like, you couldn't see me do a damn thing. Nobody was learning anything.
No.
I was just playing around in the shop and people were watching. It was fun. Definitely something I should do more often.
Yeah, I wish I had known you were going to go live. I would have joined.
Yeah, I just thought of it after. We were talking there on Clubhouse, and I thought of it after, and I was like, yeah. There's been a point in time where I thought about doing that, because there are blacksmiths on Twitch, of all things.
What is Twitch?
Twitch is like a gaming platform, so streamers stream on Twitch.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so
yeah.
They'll play.
I didn't know it was called.
Yeah, Twitch. They'll play on. There's Twitch and there's a new one called Kick, and I don't know how well it's doing, but yeah, there's a few on there, but they always end up. It just seems to be like a long form video. Like they'll stand there and talk. They're not like some guys do work, some guys don't. Like, but there's not a lot of content there. Thought it'd be something cool to do sometime, but I have to be out there to do it. So
yeah, you should be out there.
Yeah. Well, tonight I went out, I walked out. I was full intention of firing the forge up to finish up a couple tapers and a few things that I needed to do. And I get out there and I'm like, this is as quiet as I've heard the neighborhood in a while. And I'm like, I'm not adding to it right now. So what I'll do is on my Thursday, which is now my swing day because of my shifts got all kind of juggled. Thursday, I'm going to finish everything up. I'll go out during the day when, you know, everybody's at work.
Yeah.
So.
Well, do it live then.
Yeah, I got to do that more often.
It seemed like I watched a little bit of the live, but it wouldn't let me fast forward, which I thought was weird.
No.
Normally, when it's a long form video, you can fast forward, but maybe it was my internet too. Who knows? But I watched a little bit of it. It looked cool.
Yeah, I didn't move. I wanted to keep my phone away from my work because I don't want to hit it with any like hot sparks or anything. But then I moved it over at the end. I moved it right by the vice when I was working there. I think that was better. But
it's funny, when I was at Underground taking the classes there, I didn't even think about it. I was TIG welding, so I was like, oh, let me set up my camera, do some videos. And I did that. And then I moved my phone because that's what I was using. And like for TIG, it doesn't matter, right? There's no splatter or nothing. But then I switched to the grinder.
Uh-oh.
And it was like, it was almost like I had a Braille phone then. It was just all these little
marks.
Pop marks inside the glass.
Yeah. So I have my old phone, and that was always my intent after a while was to take that old phone and bring it out. And I do use it in the shop from time to time, but it's not always charged. So I meant to bring it out that time. And what I'll do, I'm going to put Instagram on that phone. So then I can use that phone and, you know, maybe put it a little bit more in harm's way because the screen is already cracked on it.
Yeah. So who cares at that point?
So, but yeah, definitely something that you got to be mindful of if you're grinding for sure, or MIG welding. That's a bad one.
Oh, MIG welding, yeah.
Yeah, well, the smartwatch I wear, that's one of the reasons I always wear that glove. Like, I'm not trying to be Michael Jackson of the blacksmiths. I wear a glove on my left hand, and it's got the gauntlet, so that it covers my watch.
Yeah. I've gone through, and Apple Watches are pretty fragile, but I have shattered the glass on the front of it. I don't know how many times, weed whacking.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so now I just take it off. You know, when you're doing like the edging or something. And
yeah, some stones and stuff. And
I don't even know it hit it, you know?
And then, don't hit the watch. It didn't hit
yeah,
you.
Yeah, look at my watch later, and I'm like, oh, man, that's not good.
Yeah.
So now I just take it off whenever I do
yeah, that. I was out, like I say, when I was making the jigs, I made them just before I got rolling on Sunday. And I was welding with just a standard glove on, just a wrist-length glove. And then I got done and I looked at my watch and I could see two marks where something skidded across the screen. I was like, oh.
Did it buff out or is it scratched now?
Oh, it's fine. There's one that's a little pitted, but I've had the watch, a year and a half. But the way tech goes, this thing's ancient.
Yeah, right.
It's not even that old. It works great, so I don't care.
Yeah, I don't really keep up with the latest tech.
No.
So that's good. Coming along nicely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm happy with what I've got done so far. I've beaten myself up too much for not having it done sooner, but I'm happy with what's done.
Good. I'm not happy with mine. I think it may start over.
Oh God.
It's not that nice.
I think he's trolling everybody.
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about maybe just doing lasered coasters or Tumblr or something like that.
Oh.
You know, something nice. We'll get you something real nice, Clark.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and tonight there I went out, and that was more of a, like you say, I was going out to, because it was so, I found it so quiet in the neighborhood, I was like, I can't start anything, so I just fired up the grinder and cleaned up the pieces that I already had made.
What kind of finish do you put on something like that?
That's going to be like either the beeswax or the axe wax that I have, something like a wax, something like that. Usually do that hot.
You got enough axe wax to do something that big?
Oh, yeah. It takes very minimal to really do it.
Oh, okay.
Because all you get it like hot enough that you have to use a glove to, well.
Yeah, I know it's supposed to like boil off.
You want it to
not boil off, but
kind of melt in.
Smoke off.
Yeah. Huh. So I went out to the shop and realized, well, my anvil is getting in bad condition because of, how months ago I was talking about like treating it, putting wax to it or something along those lines. So I just buffed it off wire wheeled it real quick and then applied a fair bit of axe wax to it today just to keep it sealed up. So I hate working on the face, and if the face is all rusty, it's just not fun to work on.
I could see that.
Me being picky is all it is, but it's just, I don't know. I don't like working on stuff like that. Not when it's mine.
Yeah. I was out in the shop, I don't know, last weekend maybe, working, and I was sweating, and I rubbed my head because I was sweating, you know, and I put my hand down on my table saw, not thinking, and then I went off to do something else, and I went back out there like the next day, and there was just my handprint on the cast iron, and I was like, oh, just a rusty handprint. And I was like, oh, man. So then I had to clean that and buff that off and then re-wax it. Like then when I did, I was like, I should do every cast iron surface in my shop. And as I'm scrubbing out the rust, I'm thinking about it. And then I waxed it and then I just put the wax away and I didn't do any other surface. I'll probably pay for that later.
What do you use for wax?
Johnson's Paste Wax.
Oh, what are you going to use now? That's they're done making it.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Varathane makes one. It's the same stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the stuff I have is, I have other stuff, Minwax, they make something similar.
Yeah, I wish I could find some Johnson's now, though.
Yeah, well, so a lot of smiths use that the Johnson's or like the Minwax or like that furniture polish wax. And I was using it and I don't like it because it's I can just smell death when it's burning off.
Oh yeah. For what you do. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like death. Yeah. So that's why I started kind of looking for the,
honey.
Well, wax. For the beeswax. And the axe wax as well. Actually, I just found there's a local guy here that does what he uses for cutting boards. It's a beeswax mineral oil mix. I'm gonna try it.
I've made that, yeah.
And I think if I knew the ratios, I would make it. But at the same time, it's $10 for a little tin, and we'll see if it works for me.
Yeah. So what you could do is you go on Amazon or whatever, and they sell you the little pellets.
Yeah, I've seen that stuff's getting expensive too.
Oh, like is it? Like I bought a 20-pound bag of it a couple of years ago.
Oh, this is like anything I've found is between 1 and 5 pounds and can be anywhere between $20 and $50 for a minimal amount. But I mean, I say minimal. I mean, 5 pounds of beeswax could be quite a volume. I really don't know.
Yeah, I just found a website here from a bulk apothecary or whatever, and 8 pounds is $55. 1 pound is $8.61. So it's not bad.
Okay.
I guess it depends where you get it from.
Yeah.
I'm sure on Amazon, it's probably a lot more expensive now. Amazon seems to be raising their price on everything.
Yeah.
Here we go. One pound. Yes. A 1 pound box or bag of beeswax is $11.99. Not free shipping.
Yeah, I found it here in a Michael's store. Like, so I have a 1 kilo block, so that's 2.2 pounds. And I think that was pre-COVID. I think that was $20 or $25. Like, it was expensive, but I remember being like, "I'll try it, see if it's any good." And I do like the end result. I've had some trouble with consistency because I'm having issues with patience. Let's put it that way. Like just when I go to heat stuff up, I want to I just get into a rush because it's usually the last step and I just want to get it done. And it's really the most important, one of the most important steps. Cause if you don't have it finished the way you want it, it's kind of sucks.
Yeah. I could see that. I was trying to look up the ratio. I haven't made it in a while.
Yeah. Cause the guy I found, who's he? The Woodwright, he's local to me on Instagram. It says it's mineral oil, beeswax, and then there's something else. But yeah, if I could find the ratios for the amounts, I would like to have a large amount of it on hand because sometimes it's just nice because of the larger objects that I'm going to be coating.
Yeah, it's going to be 4 to 1.
Is it 4 to 1?
Yeah, and then you heat up the mineral oil and you dump in the beeswax. So according to this, this
guy does. The beeswax is 4 or the mineral oil is 4?
According to this, this guy does, he does 4 of the mineral oil to 1 of the beeswax.
Okay. Well, there you go. Just solved my problem. Still going to try Buddy stuff. If it's good, then it'll be something I'll keep a little bit of it around.
Yeah, I went and I bought like those little tins.
Yeah.
Little screw top tins.
His is a 2 ounce tin. It showed 1, 2, and 4, mm-hmm. but he only has the 1 and 2 at this point. I don't know if he wasn't selling the 4s or just out of stock.
They're hard to find the tins for the 4s now. People are still claiming supply chain or whatever.
It's always the way.
But yeah, I made a batch of it once. I don't know how long ago.
Yeah, like I have beeswax in my... I have ammo cans for all my my quench is in an ammo can, a 50 cal ammo can, and I have a 30 cal ammo can that's got the beeswax in it, but it's just a block of beeswax, and I just whatever I'm doing I try and do in the can so that it catches any leavings, any drips, so I don't lose it. I want to have the shop floor covered in beeswax.
It's funny you mentioned ammo cans. I thought about this a while ago, and I haven't done it yet. You know how most people put like a 5 gallon bucket under their grinder?
Yep.
I was going to get a, I have them. I just haven't found them. I think they're up in the attic, but I have ammo cans. I was going to use that as my catch-all.
Oh, yeah. Your swarf bucket, as they call
it. Swarf, that's what it's called, yeah.
Yeah, you just made me think of it. I do want to have, like, I always have a water pail beside the anvil, and I've been having issues with it freezing. I mean, of course I have issues with it freezing up here.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It keeps busting out the bottom, so I'm on my second one. I had one last me two winters, and now I got another one in there that's going to die a slow death that the first one died. But yeah, it just made me think if I put had an ammo can or something, I think if I elevated it too, it would help, because that's part of it, because the one I have is it's on the ground. It's still going to freeze. I'm not saying raising it's going to, but it just lets me know the condition of the bottom, so I know if it's leaking or anything, if yeah. I need to weld it or be something easier to fix, be a little heavier.
Is an ammo can going to be big enough, though? Something like that? I mean, I wanted the ammo can as a swarf bucket because it's narrow, so it doesn't take up a lot of room under the...
Yeah, they have quite a collection. So Princess Auto has a lot of army surplus kind of stuff, too. And they have a bunch of different ammo cans that they bring in. I think one of them's pretty big. Let me have a look. But it's definitely something that I've been thinking about for a while, because I was thinking, so my forge is, the top dome is part of an air tank, right? It's an old compressor tank. Well, I still have the old compressor tank sitting beside my garage, and it's, you know, 1/4-inch steel. It was made to take pressure. I was kind of thinking I might take what I have left of it and repurpose that into making a new quench bucket, or not really quench, but like a water bucket for beside the anvil, something, and put it like elevated off the ground so that I'm not filling it with so much water. Cause that was part of it too, is that in the spring I go out there, and of course there's a few months that I don't go out in the winter. I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Well, this is not feasible.
And you get out there in the spring, and then like your water bucket's empty, and it's in your floor. So if my drainage isn't good enough, or if the frost is still in the ground, like my whole floor is water, and it kind of makes it mucky. So
you know how to fix that? You do a dry pour.
I knew that was coming. You know what you should do? Here come the trolls.
Yeah. That's got to suck when it rusts a hole in the bottom of it.
Well, it's not even rusting a hole. It actually, the ice just like pushes the bottom of it out. And it's a pain. And it did it the first year I had that bucket, and I fixed it, welded it up. Instead of it being, well, it ended up being a concave bottom. So it had a round bottom on it, on the bucket.
Yeah.
So I bent it back in and then fixed all the cracks that happened, plus the leaks that I already had. But then last year it did the same thing. And I was like, yeah, I wasn't expecting anything different from year to year, but I was kind of hoping for something different. So that's why I'm trying to make a plan for this year, or I'll just empty it, just leave it empty all winter.
You know what you should do is get one of those old vintage Coleman metal coolers. What? Maybe it'll keep it from freezing. Obviously not in the 3 months you're not out there, but when you are still out there, empty it before the deep freeze, but then just close the lid on it when you're gone. Maybe it'll keep it warm enough.
Yeah, but then the internet will get mad at me for repurposing a vintage cooler, putting rusty old water.
Who cares about the internet?
Yeah. Seems to be making some of her buddies some money, so.
Yeah. Maybe it can make you some money.
Yeah, I'm not looking for it.
I'm not looking for it either, but if they're willing to pay me, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, I was just looking here. The ammo cans. Yeah, it's kind of hit or miss. I think I have the 50 caliber ammo can, the steel one. It's actually pretty good. They're like $20.
That's not too bad.
No.
I got like 5 for $20 at a yard sale. But
yeah, then there's one here. This one actually would probably work. It's 12 by 6 by 19 inches. So there's some stuff out there that you could repurpose for sure. And I'm sure if you have a local army surplus, they probably have, who knows, maybe they got some 155 millimeter shells or something that they you could use.
You never know.
Some old brass.
We used to have one at my old house. I don't know if not that that's far away from here, but I wonder if I have one closer to me now. I gotta look that up after this.
Yeah, we have one here local, but he's kind of hit or miss, and we're in a small town, so it's not really, he's lucky. I think some days he might be lucky to have one person walk through the door. So he's got a collection of like winter clothes and rain gear. The rain gear is really good. Like if you're going wheeling or something, their rain gear is top notch.
Yeah, it looks like there's one right here in my town.
Oh, yeah?
Should check that out.
There we go. So you did an estate sale. Did you find anything?
Oh, yeah.
You find any angry people to deal with, or or was it?
No, not this time. No. No. There was a, no.
There was this one.
No, there was nobody angry or anything. It was a good one this time. But I guess the guy was, he was a tool collector, and he had a thing for wrenches and vices, and not vices, pliers. And I guess there was bunch of anvils and some blacksmithing stuff, but a local blacksmith bought them all.
Oh, okay.
On day one. I got there day three.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it was a lot of wrenches, a lot of pliers. Like this guy who's like, I don't know, a lot of cutting tools and stuff. But one thing I like to get are the parallel pliers, like the jaws moving parallel to each other. So when they open, they kind of open like this. And then they close like that as opposed to like this. So the full face of the jaw is in contact at all times, whatever the...
Okay. I don't know that I've ever seen those. I know what you mean by the mechanism, but I don't think I've ever seen them working.
Yeah. So some of the prices, and the guy had bought at auction from this company called craftsofnj.org or whatever. And it's like a tool collecting crown. And the guy for years had been buying from them, and they had gotten like the head guy of that organization there. So they weren't getting like ripped off on prices and stuff, but that made, like, for me as a tool hunter, the prices were a little high. So I was like, but only on some things were priced fine. So then I went and I found those, and I went through it and I found a bunch that my wife could use for silversmithing. Right.
I don't think I've ever laid hands on these, but I've seen them before.
Oh, well, hear me out. So I grabbed the ones that I thought she would want. And I grabbed, I don't know, like 5 pairs. And I put it with my pile of other tools I was going to get. Just some like outside caliper type things, like if you're on the lathe or something. And what else did I get? I got some like Billings wrenches, just because I think they're cool and they were cheap. So I got them, and she was like charging like nothing for them, like $1 to $2 a piece. So I just went back and grabbed the whole bucket. So I bought it in the bucket.
Nice.
But yeah.
Yeah. I like them. Yeah. I'd like it if we had more of that stuff up here, but I also like not having as many people around.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and I bought some tongs, like tiny tongs, like not real long tongs. Whatever the guy had left there.
Oh, okay.
Some of them need a little help, but
yeah, that was one thing I noticed. So I was using the scrolling tongs that I made at the course there last year, or this spring, I guess. I can see I'll be revisiting those. I like the pair I have. But I think they're maybe too small for what I was doing the other day. So I need something that'll give me a little bit more leverage, like a longer handle on them. I can be hard on stuff, so maybe it's just me and not the tool.
Maybe. I sent you the haul of what I got.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to bring most of the the parallel pliers that I don't want. She doesn't want up to Maker Camp, sell them up there. But I did get, the guy must have had these big shears, and he made them into tongs. So it's like using a pair of scissors, but they're tongs, which I thought was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I see the shears. Oh, yeah. That's quite the haul.
He had, like, they had a lot there. Like, they had the old Devin of the Art of Craftsmanship, I like this, or Be Mad at Me, one or the other. They had the sheep shears there.
Yep.
And he makes them into those knives, which are cool.
Yep.
So I was like, oh, maybe if they're cheap enough. They wanted $40 a pair. I was like, oh, that's too much.
Yeah, you got three pairs of tongs there. Look pretty good. Oh, you have to give me a price on your calipers there. Those would be good. Good to have.
Which calipers?
The ones on the far left when your video first starts.
Oh, the little set is mine. You can't have that.
Well, I'm thinking more of the big set anyways.
All right, they're yours. I'll find another pair down here, so that's fine.
Yeah. Those wrenches are nice, too.
Yeah. You want them, let me know.
Yeah. Yeah, I got my first update. You probably saw it on the new sledgehammer coming.
I did see that. I did. Yeah. Gnome hammer coming in clutch.
Yeah. He's a little whiny about moving the 10-pound hammerhead around.
I thought you were only going to go 8.
So that was...
Come on, man.
So,
that guy must be... His forearms must be on fire moving that thing around with a pair of tongs.
So I had... So we were talking a couple weeks back about it, and I had said the one I used at camp for the forge project was a 6. I thought it was a 6. It was an 8.
No, I knew it was... He said it was an 8.
I had it in my head it was a 6. So I was like, I want something a little bit bigger.
That was his, right?
That was his. Was it? I think it's War Turtle Forge, I think. Is WTF is the stamp on the side of it.
Okay.
Anyways, that's who made it for him, I think. I think I got that right. I might not. Apologize if I don't. Yeah, so I like that one. And then when we were talking, I thought it was a 6. And then he's like, you realize that was an 8. He said, do you want me to go to a 10? Because I had asked him to make me an 8. And he's like, it won't change the price. I'll make you a 10. I was like, and all I can think in my head is the 10 is going to have bigger faces.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So he's making me a 10.
Talk about waking up the neighborhood when you're smashing that thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, it's only going to be brought out special occasions anyways. Cause yeah, I'm not going to swing that in here by myself. I actually don't even have the space to strike. Like I don't have,
well, don't you have an outside anvil too? Or an anvil that you move outside?
I do. I suppose I have the space there, but that would be the only time. And I have to change my stump around. I have to shorten it. Because you can't be
striking high,
striking at hip height. Because then, if any top tools on top of it, you're going to end up with, you know, a really, really tall hit point that's really hard to hit and hard to hit square. So, even with what we were doing at camp, that was probably too low because on the arc of your swing, we're actually probably coming more in towards your feet as you're hitting that low. Unless you like basically did, well, I kind of helped cure it a little bit by the stance I used, trying to get us a little lower. But yeah, I'm excited for that. I'm hoping that we find some time to play around a little bit, get some use out of it.
Yeah, that'd be good. Aren't you going to make a hammer at camp?
That's what he talked about. I'm hoping that's what's going to happen. I mean, I know he's, first and foremost, he's with the Smelt Team 6. So that's, you know, they got to get that done. So, and that's a big part of their weekend. So I think they usually finish that that's on Saturday night or Saturday evening is when they do that.
Yeah.
Saturday? Sunday. No, it was Sunday. Because they'd finished and then the burn was after dark.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought it was Sunday.
Yeah, it was, because we talked about with them about like consolidating the block that they made, but they never really got time or chance to to consolidate it much.
Yeah. They need to figure out how not to have to build everything to do it there. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
They can't build the wooden structure before they get there and then just put it there and then just coat it with the...
With the mud?
With the mud.
I don't know. I mean, I can't speak to it. I've never tried it, never attempted. Like, it's...
Yeah, I don't know enough about it either. But, I mean, it is cool to watch all weekend. Like, I'll go by and they're like, you know, building the wood for them, and then they're covering it with mud and then they light it and they reduce it or whatever they're doing in there.
Yeah, it is kind of fun to see the whole process, but you're right. It would be nice to have it. I think it'd be fun to see something finished by the end of the weekend, like a finished product out of that consolidation.
Yeah, like if they can consolidate on Saturday, then make something with it on Sunday, I think that would be cool.
So if you're listening, Smelt Team 6, it's what we want. They don't listen. It's fine.
I don't know if the Jersey Boys listen, but I do know.
We know Ryan listens.
I know Ryan listens, and he's probably laughing at us right now saying, There's no way I'm getting those Jersey Boys to do anything other than what they're going to do.
Yeah. We just had a, you know what you should do moment, so we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. It is cool what they do, though.
Yeah, it's impressive. I mean, just the amount of work and then, like, the heat that they deal with when they break that piece, when they break it out the bottom of that.
What is it, a furnace? What would you call that thing?
Yeah, a furnace, I think. Like, when they break out the bottom of the furnace and they get that slag, that, like, molten glass basically coming out at them, and then they bring that consolidation out, and then, like, they're at, like, the guys are at the end of sledgehammer handles, and they are, like, they need to wear gloves on their hands or they're going to burn their hands. There's that much heat. Like, you can just tell, like, the sweat coming off those guys is ridiculous.
It's a workout for sure.
And I mean, just
if you don't know what we're talking about and you are coming to camp, make sure that when you swing by the Smelt Team 6 booth, you figure out when they're going to break that thing open and then go watch it. Because it's impressive.
You will see a large gathering when they do, because everybody comes around.
And it's like team striking at its finest, right?
Very soft touch team striking. Because if you're too aggressive at the start, it'll shatter.
It fractures,
it'll
right?
just like yeah. It'll just split apart. So a lot of times you'll see, like, I've seen videos of guys doing it. They'll start with wood mallets, like timber framing sized mallets, like those the big boys.
Really?
Yeah, I think you can get, because you're not swinging so much mass, you can have a softer touch with it, and you've got a huge.
Wouldn't it just burn up though?
Well, you're only tapping it. It's only a quick little touch. You're not hitting it and then leaving the hammer. Face on it, because actually the Spiess, Jeremy Spiess mallet that I have at the house here, my intent for it is for the shop. Like, it will be what I use, because I can strike with it on stuff to straighten and then not have a hammer mark left over on my metal.
Yeah, it's almost like a rawhide hammer.
Yeah, it performs the same action.
Cool.
But it doesn't smell like burning flesh, like a rawhide.
Do they smell when you?
They can, yeah. Who was it? Had one? Charles, Vintage Hillbilly Heads.
Mm.
He had one there at one of the Forge events, and yeah, if you let it sit on the piece too long, it smells.
Well, that makes sense.
That's burning leather.
Yeah.
But anyway, both of those are good options for, like, if you don't want to mar up anything that you're working on that's hot.
I was actually thinking of pre-making or pre-starting a few projects before camp, like cutting up some cubic twists before I go.
Yeah.
So I can make some bottle openers when I'm there. Because I hate when I'm there and I'm standing around like, oh, what should I make? You know, you're digging around a scrap steel pile with no idea.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I think I'll bring a handful of spikes just to make a few things with, I think.
Yeah, that's good. I got some steel here, so I'm going to mess around with it.
Yeah, I'm excited for a lot of stuff. I mean, I want to see one of those Apollos working.
That's going to be fun.
One of Brian House's forges, because I'm really curious. There's a couple things he's dialed it in as best I can tell. So, and there might be a few things I can learn from his forge for my stuff here.
Does he sell just the ribbon burner too, right?
I think so. For me, it's not so much.
Or did he give up on that and just do the full thing?
I don't know. I guess I'd have to look and see what his kits are. But for me, it's more the fuel and air delivery that I was interested in, because I'm happy with my burner and my forge setup. It's, for me, it's been more of like that trial and error that, if anybody's paid attention, that I've been doing for the last 3 or 4 years now, trying to figure out how to get the proper amount of fuel and air to the thing so that it gives me the right conditions in the forge.
Very cool.
So, and I think the needle valve that I added in the last little while has been a huge game changer. That forge works way better now. So it gives me more volume of gas. And that's the biggest thing, I think, was one of my problems was I was running too lean. I didn't have enough fuel.
I thought the idea of a ribbon burner was to run less fuel.
I think it is still more efficient, but I don't know the efficiency differences. I don't think it's like 50% more efficient. I can't even hazard to guess the difference in efficiency, but I know like I have to run 230s to keep up with that burner.
Okay.
But my burner, that forge, is the size of probably two of those Mr. Volcanoes, which have a tendency to, we frosted up 20-pound tanks at camp many times.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I'm in the right ballpark with what I got. And then I think mine is still would be more efficient than running like a Mr. Volcano all day.
Right.
I think I could get, if I was running most of the weekend, I think I could run the 230s that I have and probably get the whole weekend out of it, like a couple 8-hour sessions kind of thing.
Cool.
Which I've never done. That would be impressed to be out there that long. But
you got it.
Yeah, I mean, we do it for the
forge. You're out there for more than 8 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, there's dinner in between, but you're out there for more than 8 hours. Yeah. The did I see on Instagram today, Cole Ironworks made a hammer?
Yeah, I saw that. That was the first I've seen of it, too. They were at Quad State this past week.
With a hammer? Is that the unveiling of it? I saw nothing.
I assume it's kind of the unveiling, because when I Googled it and like went on their website, and they call it the Cole Hammer. And I think it's 36 pounds is the falling weight on it. So it's a smaller hammer, but could be very useful for a lot of people. They've got it on pre-sale right now. So it's not out in the wild just yet. So maybe we'll see that at camp.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Maybe we'll see it at camp.
Yeah, I would think if they took it to Quad State, they'll bring the same setup. I assume that they're at the point now where they have just a traveling setup. So,
I mean, I'm no blacksmith, and I don't pay attention that closely, but I think I would have seen it because it jumped right out at me today when I saw it.
Yeah, I saw it on like probably Friday or Saturday, and it was like, that can't be just a coincidence that there's a Cole brand hammer. That kind of surprised me. So I went to their website and looked at it, and it's their making. So I think it's the what's that style of hammer?
I don't know. Power hammer.
Well, they call it an air. It's an air hammer, but it's, instead of it having, there's a name for it. I just can't think of it right now. And everybody's screaming at me that's a blacksmith. Yeah, it's an air hammer. So it's integrated, or there's another word that they use for it, but it's all encased in one piece. You don't have to have an external air compressor to run the hammer.
Okay, I was just
the motor on the back is driving a compressor that's in the base of the. So all those older hammers that you hear, and they, why can't I?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
It's like an all-in-one kind of thing. But yeah, it looks like a cool little setup. A 33 would be a great, or 36, sorry. That's what I saw for weight. Be a great, not even, I don't think going to call it an entry-level hammer. For a lot of people, a 36 would probably be enough hammer for most people. Like for me, what I've been thinking of getting when and if I do get a hammer is probably in the 25 to 50 pound range.
Yeah, that's what most people get, right?
Yeah, so I don't need 100 pound. I mean, yeah, I'd love to have 100 pound anything, but I think for the most part, for the little stuff and the smaller kind of, I just need to go from hand hammer to something that's faster, and like that ballpark of like that, you know, 30 to 50 pounds of falling weight would be a big step for me, and I don't think I'd need to go past it.
Yeah, not for like ornamental type stuff.
No, I think if you were getting into like heavy hammer making, like if it was all you were doing, I think that the bigger hammers would be advantageous, but I don't know that you'd want to go much bigger.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. I got a 5 pounder from Gnome Hammer and a 2 pounder, and that's all I need. Which, by the way, if you get in on his Patreon, he's back to making the giveaway hammers.
Well, he never stops. He's just...
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying. He's back from whatever that fair was, or what was it? Tri-State, they call it?
Quad State? Yeah. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I know it's a large kind of gathering sale. It's something I want to get to at some point, but she's a fair ways away from me. I'd have to be some pre-planning for that one.
You want to go next year? If only it was a week later. Well, I wouldn't go then.
Yeah. It's weird. There's a lot of stuff going on in the next like 3 to 4 weeks. It's like after school goes back and then everything starts happening again.
Yep. All the cool stuff happens at once, you know?
Yeah. So I found the word for the power hammer. It's a self-contained power hammer, not an I was calling it, well, I knew it was integrated. I just didn't know it was this. That was the, I couldn't remember the word. So yeah, it's a self-contained.
Underwater breathing apparatus.
Yeah.
Scuba.
Oh, where'd that go?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. I was just trying to find and make sure I was right, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, no, it looks pretty cool. We'll see. It'd be kind of fun if get to try it out.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if it shows up. I don't know if it will.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll let me run it because I've got all of 15 minutes on a power hammer. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know we get to use it at the group forge and stuff, but I don't think the press is open for anyone to use at Maker Camp.
No, I don't think so either. I think you'd have to... Well, I don't know. I don't want to speak for them, but I kind of feel like it's, you have to express some interest in purchasing something before they'll let you really get after it. And then they've got time dedicated to some of the presenters as well, I believe.
Yeah, the demonstrators.
Yeah, that they're using it from time to time. So
anyway, I thought it was cool that they were making a new hammer, power hammer.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. I mean, it seems like they're looking at innovation because I remember when I talked to them a while back because I'd like to have like the 12 ton, like something small like that, but I want the openness of the C-frame that they have in their 16 yeah. and 25. And they did mention when I mentioned it, if they had any plans of building a C-frame 12, and they said they were thinking about it. But I mean, maybe they will, maybe they won't. Doesn't really.
Yeah, why innovate, you know?
Well, I mean, if they feel there's a market for it, why wouldn't you? If you feel like you can make a product that people are going to buy, then yeah, do it. But
yeah, but is a 12 ton enough? Like if you're already going to go to the C frame, is a 12 ton, is obviously the H frame is made for like smaller things like the knife makers and stuff, right?
Yeah,
when
that's
you get
about
the need for the C frame. Is a 12 ton, like, is it even worth making a 12 ton or is it too small? That's what I'm asking. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, but that's a solid question for sure. We'll never know.
I don't know. Talk to him this year. Maybe he will.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, let's thank those patrons, Tony.
All right. So we do have a new one, new old one, old new one.
A new name to read out?
Well, it's a new name to read out. He's been a longtime patron, but has decided to up his patronage. But we'll start with our usual list here. Save that for last. So we have Corey of Odyssey CNC, Christy of Twisted Twine, Annette of 513 Woodworks, Full Steam Designs by Chris Powell, Lillian Archer Photography, David Beckwith Makes, NB Woodfinery, and our top tier Espoke Studios, Danelle Smith Christian, Brian Drennan, Lawrence of MaritimeKniveSupply.com, Ed Johns of ButtJoints.com, Adam of Uncle Sam Metalworks, Vincent Ferrari of Digitally Creative, Brian Housewort of Workfort Podcast, Archigino Sorio, Matt of Wooden Mustache, Brad of Brad's Customs, David and Joanna at Wido Works, Chad of Chad's Custom Creations, Ryan of Gnomehammer Forge, David of DW Wood Builds, Matt of First Duke Construction, and our new old new is Daniel in Drizzy. So welcome aboard.
Welcome to the upper tier. Thank you. Thank you all. You guys are great.
Yes, thank you. No, actually, sorry, we forgot one, and I apologize. We have a new one.
A new one.
A new, shiny new. It's, I didn't get a name. I just have the account is Maker38364.
Oh, yeah.
And they just joined our on as a patron.
Yeah, thanks for joining.
Yeah, apologize.
I see them into Clubhouse every now and then, but they never speak.
Yeah, come on up. We don't bite.
Sometimes.
Well, you know, if you start hugging, there might be some.
Yeah. Some fists. Might catch some hands. The I'm gonna have to beep that out again.
Catch some hands.
Oh man. Oh. Not you, Maker. I just, that's a joke from last week.
Yeah.
But yeah, Oak and Steel was talking about Make What You Fear on their podcast last week.
Oh, nice.
Matt and Michael. And then I was trying to talk Michael into coming to Maker Camp, but I don't think that's going to be this year. So we'll see what happens. But if you haven't listened to them yet, go give them a listen. That's a fun listen. It's another Wood and Steel podcast.
Yeah.
What do you think? Head on over to the after show.
Sounds good to me.
All right, let's rock and roll. If you want to find Tony, he's at Woodland Iron. I'm at Blackthorn Concepts. Both of us can be found at Working Hands Podcast on the old Instagrams. We do have a TikTok account, Working Hands 3. Give that a follow. Like, rate, review, and more importantly, share the show with all your friends. That'd be great. If you do a write-up review, we will read it on air. I should probably look to see if we had a new one this week. I did not look yet, so bear with me. But yeah, all that stuff helps us tremendously, especially the reviews. No new ones since April, so nobody loves us anymore. Anywho, with that, we're going to head on over to the after show for the patrons. If you want to join, you can hang out with us for another at least 20 more minutes, 10 more minutes sometimes, 5 minutes, sometimes 2 hours. You'll have to see when you pay to find out. If you don't already know, the Gnome Hammer Waffle is happening. The month is almost over. So if you're not already in, if you're not already a patron of ours, of his, or if you haven't bought a raffle ticket, now is the time to do so. You have, 3 days left as this airs?
I believe so, yeah.
Don't miss that. We do all the reposts for him on our page, and that'll have all the links. So if you see a hammer being made, it's one of Gnome Hammer's on our Working Hands page. Click on Gnome Hammer, give him a follow, and then go to his links in his bio for all the details. With that, later.
Later.